morning, everybody. Up you get. Let's go. Let's rise and shine. We have much to do this morning, and I am glad to be spending it with you. I'd rather be in bed, but I mean, you know, you can't stay in bed forever. Got to get up. Got to get moving. Got to get things happening.
Gotta get done.
Oh, man. Jack is here with me. Jack Mutlante.
Good morning.
You good?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Stating the obvious, right? Cold, but yeah, what are you going to do? Just got to dress warmly and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, just get on.
Everyone's cold.
Yeah.
Everyone. I saw some guy like pushing one of those trolleys with all the cardboard and shit on it. And I was like, you think your life's difficult and, oh, it's horrible and it's cold. And then you see that guy and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Get a little perspective.
Right.
Get over yourself.
So, what have I missed? We didn't do a show on Monday, so I'm catching up slowly on all the news. I see there's plenty coming out of America. I see Panyaza Lesufi is trying to get going here locally. He's advertising jobs for people who want to work for the municipality. You want to be a traffic warder? You want to be a rubbish collector? You want to be a metropolis? There's all kinds of jobs available. So don't tell me you're unemployed and you can't find a job. Panyaza's trying to help you.
He's trying.
Huh?
He's trying. Go out there.
What must he do?
Sign up.
Spoon feed you? The best he can do.
Yeah, go up there. Sign up. We need a few more traffic officers.
Sure we do.
Yeah.
Ones that can actually do the job.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, it's a big controversy, and I don't know why it's controversial, because this thing wasn't even a thing 2 years ago. But you know, like Mama Joy, who was the super fan that we would send to sports events, and it was part of the sports department. And who was the minister? Because they keep changing them. I think it was.
Was it before Figile, or was it
after Figile? Used to be spokesperson, man. Somewhat disgraced. Anyway, it doesn't matter. If you know, you can tell us in the comments, because it really doesn't matter. It's very hard to kind of keep up with ministers, especially now that we've got so many. But Gayton has decided he's closing the floodgates on superfans. He's not paying for them to fly business class all over the world and attend sports matches, because that's what most of us have to do. We have to earn that money ourselves to do that as like a treat. And only the richest of the rich can do it, because it is unbelievably expensive. Our rand is worth nothing. Travel is expensive. And by the way, we'll check in on some travel. Hopefully some travel that isn't expensive in a short while. We'll do the window seat this morning. But this was a thing that became kind of part of what was pitched from the Department of Tourism up to a while ago. It wasn't sport. It was tourism that I think was behind that. Anyway, that's all finished now. Gayton says he's cutting the... He's chasing the pigs from the trough, cutting them loose.
The gravy train.
If Mama Joy wants to go to rugby or cricket or tennis or
she's
soccer
have to
match,
pay for herself.
Right, she must pay for herself. Mm. Like the rest of us, frankly. And yes, it was Zizi Kwadwa. Thank you very much, Human Shield 777. And Morabit.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. I think I'm liking Gayton more and more.
Yeah.
But it's controversial, because some people are like, oh, but how can you cut Mama Joy loose? It's amazing how many people get used to the fact that someone is eating at the trough and that they're paying for it, and that it's just, oh, well, it's just something I have to pay for. You see this with people in their own personal finances. They're like, yeah, well, you know, I've been paying that subscription for that channel or that thing that I don't even use, but I'll just keep doing it.
Yeah.
I wonder why you're poor at the end of the month.
And it's not like Mama Joy was in those stadiums by herself.
Like, no.
Tons of South Africans that were willing to pay the full amount to go and attend these things. So now
her job
Mama Joy is like,
Her job was like the stereotypical luxury job that nobody needs.
Oh, yeah.
There are already people there who are big fans. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why would they be there?
Yeah.
Because if you asked me, for example, you said to me, you will give me free tickets to the Rugby World Cup final last year, you'd be wasting your time. Because I would not be the right person to send.
Yeah.
And even if you paid for everything for me, which would be very nice of you, I would not enjoy it the way that perhaps a real fan would. Now, I'm not doubting that she's a real fan, but I think that there are better people for these jobs, like the ones who are actually going to sacrifice like 100,000 rand of their own money to go and see something. I mean, that's a real fan. You're putting your money where your mouth is.
I'm actually not entirely convinced that she understood what was going on in some of these spots.
Well, she dressed up. That's the most important part.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a world where as long as you pretend, as long as you perform,
Yes,
then you must be the real thing.
Yeah, and there's a stage for everyone these days.
Absolutely. Mm. Everyone's a star.
Everyone
you know?
Is a star. So everyone is special.
So many stars, no one to watch them.
Mm. Mm.
Athletes can barely afford to travel, says Hamin. They have to beg for money. Sort them out first.
There we go.
Hey, didn't Mama Joy find a French squeeze at one of those paid-for trips? The frog leg face can pay for her. Sure. People are angry. Listen, it's more of a concern to me that we have so many people who are, you know, when Panyaza Lesufi advertises all these posts in the municipality, that's not him trying to create jobs. That is him using taxpayer money, your money, yours.
Mm.
Remember when they come and they take your paycheck and they just tear off a piece of it at gunpoint and you don't have an option?
Mm-hmm.
That's where that money comes from. So never be under the illusion that this money is just somehow manufactured on some magical tree somewhere, that there's some, that they've got good muti in government, that they can figure out how to make money out of nothing. It comes from you.
Yep.
So
someone has to foot the bill.
Yeah. On that note, maybe if super fans washed the sports stars' underwear and traveled cargo class, then we would be happy with them, says Vyasin.
That's a bit dramatic.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, if someone asked me to wash underwear in order to get a free trip, I'd say you need to take a free trip and shove it up your ass.
But yeah.
That's just me.
Put it exactly where that underwear is supposed to be.
So here is a picture of me leaving the house this morning in all of my clothes because it was so cold. This is how I felt. And I still feel like I wasn't wearing enough layers. Take a look at this. Yeah. When James gets his act together.
Well, yeah. James, my boy.
Hey, Gareth and Jack says, burn. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that the man pushing the trolley can do with some of the money spent on Mama Joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, Bern, you got to go and find that person. And then you know what? You're going to find 200 others.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, you're not going to have very much to give any of them.
Yeah.
So actually, this socialism you dream of, it doesn't exist either. So crap idea, Bern. We're going to scratch that, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I just think the fact that guy that you were talking about with the trolley, it's an indication of systematic breakdowns of our systems, essentially.
Is it?
Or
is it like somebody who sees a gap in the market and fills it?
Sure. But, you know, working conditions are essential to a happy life. Like, look at us now.
No, look.
We're sitting in these well-lit studios.
I think we need people to remove. In fact, I would love another 100,000 people to be employed in tidying up Johannesburg and the other big cities.
Because it's rather filthy.
And if
right
these
now.
Guys are picking up the stuff and if they're gathering it together instead of making more of a mess, and that the jury's still out on that,
mm-hmm.
Then I can understand how someone else would be paying them for it. There's, you know, there are places that collect this waste, they compress it, they then sell it onto the recycling plants or whatever. So there is a gap. And I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing that there are people filling that gap. And we can argue about whether or not that's dignified work. But I mean, in an economy where you really don't have a lot of options, dignified work as opposed to no work at all, I'd rather take the undignified work than be absolutely dirt poor and not be able to feed myself.
Mm-hmm.
So
starvation kind of cancels a lot of options.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, and you know, I was telling a friend of mine this over the weekend that a lot of people would be surprised with what they'd be willing to live with. You know what I mean?
Or like, live without.
Yeah. I mean, we are of the notion that because you have become accustomed to a certain kind of lifestyle that you can't change.
Right.
Meanwhile, you could do with a lot less, like a whole lot less.
Absolutely. I don't know, you know, but being deprived, but I do remember when we were growing up, we went through a stage where my parents had very little money, and the only decoration that my brother and I had in our tiny little room was like the Coke cans for that World Cup.
Oh yeah,
that was it, and we tried to collect them all. but it took us weeks. So, I mean, and did we love those things?
Yeah.
You know, as a result of the fact that we didn't have very much.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so many interesting questions and things that are coming up. I mean, another thing that's in the news that I really am not that interested in is Judge Hlophe.
Oh, not again. No.
Yeah, I mean, so what you missed if you did pay attention to this and maybe you only caught the tail end of it is that Judge Hlophe has been put on the Judicial Services Commission, one of the parliamentary commissions. Mm. This one appoints judges. And he's on there along with Glynis Breytenbach and Julius and some other people. But it turns out the only three parties that opposed Judge Hlophe, who's the first judge in South Africa to be impeached, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he's the only judge
by
in South Africa.
By the very same organization, by the way.
By the EFF and the and MK, yeah,
yeah.
ANC.
Yeah.
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 So it's amazing how quickly the wheel turns.
Yeah.
But you don't have to believe any politician. Believe their actions. When Musi Maimane and Songezo Zibi and all these guys said, you know, we want honest, decent leadership, but then they don't vote against Judge Hlophe, you got to ask yourself, like, are these serious people?
No.
Clearly not.
Nope.
But I haven't really been paying a lot of attention to it. I just saw it on social media yesterday. And, I mean, anyone who's going to bother to watch like Parliament.
Yo.
I mean, then you really deserve a job in Parliament. It's like the super fans. You know, if we're going to send you there, you really have to love it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'd much rather watch paint dry.
Yeah.
I imagine there's a whole lot more happening on the wall than watching Parliament. It's just, and to be honest, like, I feel like I'm politicsed out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've had enough.
Even with American politics and now French and British. And
yo.
So it was a busy week. I mean, listen.
And
you know,
yesterday, a friend of mine, like, he, you know, when someone talks to you and you're trying to figure out if it's really them, it's like, no, I think someone, an alien must have
what?
Taken over your body.
What happened?
No, this guy's like, he genuinely says to me, I'd rather have anybody instead of Trump. Biden or Harris is a great option outside of Trump. And I'm like, okay, but wait, we need to drill down to the bottom of this because I need to understand what you're saying. He was trying to make the point that controlling a dementia patient is a lot easier than controlling an egomaniac.
Yeah, but who's controlling him?
That was my biggest
point. This doesn't bother him?
It didn't bother him at all. He said, you know what? All governments have shadow governments and wada-wada. It's just the lay of the land. That's how we live. I'm like, bro, you're not making any sense whatsoever. The end of the conversation, what I discovered was he just has a really deep dislike for Trump.
Yeah, it's called Trump derangement syndrome. And it is an actual mental condition that is held by very many people in America and quite a few people in the rest of the world. It's
silly.
It's disturbing that condition prevents those people from ever being able to have a rational conversation about him. So I read this brilliant point of view that was put across by Gad Saad, who's been a guest on my show before. He's a Canadian professor. He's written a brilliant, a series of books that are all worth reading. The Parasitic Mind is his most recent one. He says here, a fundamental question I ask people when I'm gauging their intellectual honesty is to ask them to describe what the evidence would need to look like in order for them to alter a position that they hold. So if, for example, you are a Trump derangement syndrome sufferer, what would the conditions be of Donald Trump being rehabilitated in your mind? If you say there are none, then you cannot be intellectually honest and you are deranged. It's that simple. If he's the orange Hitler and there's just nothing you can say about him, you can't tell me anything about his policies, about what he stands for, what he might dislike, the way he treats his kids. There's a whole thing on the internet this morning about Baron Trump. And what a great kid this guy is.
Yeah.
He speaks like five languages. He qualified and graduated from university last year. He quietly goes about his business. He's had to put up with a lot because his father is the most famous man in the world. And this kid is like an exemplary person. But nobody talks about that. Hunter Biden is a cokehead,
yeah,
who leaves his gun and his laptop lying around and has stolen bags of money from the Ukraine and China, and we're worried about Trump's kid,
like,
who seems to me to be better than your kid in a lot of ways. So you figure that one out. Anyway, Gad goes on. He says, with that in mind, is there any reality that would cause the people who occupy a certain point of view to change their mind? If they say no, they're not intellectually honest. So you got to, with this friend of yours, you just got to go to him and say, listen, dude, is there anything that Donald Trump could do to convince you that he wasn't Orange Hitler? And if someone is a major, you know, Biden hater, mm-hmm, if there's such a thing, or they just don't like senile people with nuclear codes.
I mean,
completely unreasonable point of view. But
like,
if they did have a problem with someone who's addled and whose brain is in severe decline, if they have a problem with that guy being in charge of the nuclear codes, and they explain a point of view that might arise where even that would be better than some alternative, and where they're being rational and they're taking your point of view seriously, cool, then you could talk to them. Otherwise, you're talking to a mental patient. And I just think that so many people are not being put into mental institutions, and they're allowed on social media now. Social media is like the big mental institution that everybody seems to flock to,
yep,
when they're having emotional problems. I mean, even Byrne, who we criticized in the comments earlier here, she says about the homeless person that she was talking about earlier, the trolley guy.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, well, why don't we take the money from the sports fans and give it to him? And I called her a communist. She says, I accept your point, Ree, the trolley man. It came from an emotional rather than intellectual place, from a very wet and windy Cape Town. Well, that's the problem, Byrne. That's why women should never vote, is because you're emotional rather than intellectual. I saw something so funny this week. You know, there's the other name that keeps popping up all the time is Bill Gates, because he interferes in everything that hasn't got anything to do with him.
Yeah.
I don't know what his problem is. Like, the guy has made billions of dollars. He managed to get divorced from that wife of his. Lucky her, not even lucky him. And he's just incapable of keeping his hands out of health issues. Like, he's not a doctor, and he's telling everybody about health issues the whole time.
Mm.
And Joe Rogan said on a clip again that I saw this morning, he's like, why would you take health advice from a guy who looks like shit? Because Bill Gates does. He looks like shit. He's got this pot belly.
Mm.
He's got this pale skin. He looks like he's never been to a gym in his life. Couldn't lift a heavy thing if he tried. Why should we listen to him?
And in the vein of what Bill Gates is doing, I think I'm going to start being a high jump coach. That works, I think.
Given
the fact that you don't need any qualifications these days,
you're so tall,
you don't need to be an authority on anything. Listen, I'll teach you how to jump over the highest mountain. Listen, it's. I've just decided my body has been perfectly put together to teach high jump. That's what I'm doing.
Hameen says the best is that they'll never be able to vote again if Trump becomes president. He didn't do it when he was, but this time, yeah, you know, he was the most dangerous president ever. That's why he got America into so many wars.
Yes.
Zero wars.
Mm-hmm.
He was so dangerous that he fired off all the nukes. Zero nukes. He was so dangerous that he made enemies, new enemies for America all over the world. Friends than enemies.
Yep.
Anyway, I mean, the economy was better. America was more respected. Russia wasn't invading other parts of the world willy-nilly.
Didn't he sign some sort of, it's treaty of some sort, in the Middle East?
Oh, yeah, the Abraham Accords, not
there you
just
go.
Some treaty.
There
the
you
most,
Abraham
the
Accords.
The most breakthrough and fundamental chance for peace in Middle East history.
Yep.
Makes the Camp David Accords look like a preamble, mm-hmm, to all of this. And it was.
Yep.
The Abraham Accords, probably the closest that we have ever been to normalizing relations between Israel and its neighbors, but no credit on that.
And
right,
just so you know, whether you believe Trump was the person who was the brains behind all of this thing or not, it doesn't matter. We know for a fact is that his team, during his administration, they got a lot of shit done. And if you are a proof positive person like I am, I'd rather look at the evidence.
Anyway, interested in what was happening in France. Now they can't figure out how to make a government. Surprise, surprise, because the communists have nothing to do with Macron.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to go hard left. Marine Le Pen wants nothing to do with the communists, so they can't form a government. There are all these smaller parties, the Greens and so on, can't figure out where they fit in. So France is in a situation where they just can't, no one's going to be the government.
Hmm?
Great, you asked for this.
Yeah, you did. Time will tell, though.
It'll be very interesting.
You know, it's always hilarious to me when I see first world countries go through what we term third world problems.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's lovely.
It is lovely.
It is lovely.
Just reminds you that actually humans are dumb all over the world.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so here's that. Have you got that picture of me leaving the house this morning yet, James? We're going to have to wait another half hour. Okay, here it is. Take a look. I mean, I've kind of, you know, gone past the punchline here on this one. So okay, well, I don't know if it's even going to be funny anymore.
It's high fashion. That's what I can guarantee you.
Yeah. All right. I don't know if I'm wearing enough layers in this picture. How's that, huh?
Mm.
First of all, like, who goes to a fashion show and looks at that and goes, yeah, that, I want to wear that to the next dinner I go to, right?
It's this postmodern artistic types. Like, what is that? It looks like a bunch of scarves.
It does look pretty warm.
I've
seen some homeless people in Joburg who look just like that.
Exactly. My thing is, someone call him. How is he answering that phone? Like, if you have to pay for something, this is the most impractical outfit I've seen in a long time.
That, you know, they've designed this meticulously. And one of those folds of fabric is actually an armhole.
Yeah.
And then one of them is a pocket, but you just have to know which is which.
Ugh.
I'll tell you what, no one can stab you in that outfit. That's another good reason to wear it. Can't be stabbed. You won't get cold. You can store all kinds of things. I mean, that guy's probably, if you go into a shop, you could shoplift the whole shop and they won't know when you walk out. You're like, this is how I walked in, walking out. And this is the dog. By the way, this is my mother's very old Jack Russell, who has the same idea and was not happy to be waking up yesterday morning. I took a picture of her. Take a look at this. Poor little dog. So cold.
Oi.
Right?
But that's a clever little dog, too.
It's a clever little dog.
Very clever little dog.
I mean, just look at that facial expression. She's like, I'm not coming out of here. It doesn't matter what happens.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Gavin says, that would have been funny, but like 30 minutes ago, fire James. Oh, man. All right. So a couple of things that we need to get into this morning, and I've got a long list of them. I know you do too.
Yeah.
Why do you want to talk about cannabis in South Africa, Jack? What's your dog in this fight?
Okay. So let me get this out of the way. I do partake in, cannabis products. I was just actually looking at how much money people can stand to make in this country. Now that it has been decriminalized,
I think that bus has left already. I mean,
yeah, it has.
If you don't have a farm already, and you don't have a factory to package the stuff, whether it's CBD oil or whether you're selling actual weed, you don't have the manufacturing process and the packaging process and your distribution all locked down. I think it's too late now.
I don't think so. Like, here's what I'm saying: when industries start popping up, gaps also start showing up, right?
Sure.
So it needs a little bit of innovation. We need a couple of people to step in and come up with great ideas of how I can quickly get my joint when I need it. You know what I mean? Like, so you could have logistics, for argument's sake. You might not be the farmer yourself directly,
okay,
but you can fill the gap. You can get the product from the farmer to the end user, you know? And was interesting,
like a dealer.
To me. Yeah, you could be. But a legal dealer. You could say you're selling pharmaceuticals. It's a bigger word than drugs, but
dealer.
You know what I mean? It's
right.
Legal.
So, okay.
So,
you're not reinventing the wheel here.
Yeah. No.
Dealer.
You get in where you fit in. So, okay. The formal cannabis industry has the potential to create 25,000 jobs and could be worth around 28 billion rand.
Is that according to you?
No. This is according to Business Tech.
Okay.
So, just hearing those kind of numbers, considering the unemployment in this country and all of the talk about how, you know, weed is a gateway drug and all of that stuff. So we're dispelling myths. We're getting people jobs. I think it's a great thing.
I'm totally in favor. I've said from the beginning, if you are the kind of person who likes weed, then you should be able to have it without being pestered by the police.
Yeah.
If you're the sort of person who can run a serious farming operation, you should be allowed to grow it and sell it as a cash crop. Even if you're just a subsistence farmer in the Eastern Cape, you should be able to grow it as a subsistence crop and sell it. I don't have any problem with that. I personally don't partake. I don't like the smell of the stuff at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about me. It's about everybody else doing the thing that they love. And if you want to do it, you go for it. Something's going to kill you. May as well be something you like.
You know what? If you're going to choose a way to go out, I think select one that you will be happy with.
Right. Mm. So I'm actually in support of everything you've said.
I love it.
Plus, what if you become a huge big mogul? What if you become the next big thing in the weed business? And you end up running like a huge operation. It's like you become Weed South Africa. Can you imagine that?
That'd be great.
You have to buy your own private jet. And
put the plant there on the wing and stuff. So people can, they know when you show up. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You mean the leaf or the actual plant that you burn through the engines, make the whole country high. Can you imagine that?
That'd be great.
You light it up in front of the engines and just everywhere you fly, there's like these smoke trails and you just make the whole country high.
Ah, everyone would be so happy. We'd be happy and hungry. In like 30 minutes. It'd be great.
Have you seen Elon Musk's jet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's very funny. So the big thing, like if you know really, really rich people, this is actually the flex, is that you have your jet done in your livery. You have it painted the color you want it.
Okay.
You have it, you know, in the style you want it. So if you're really, really rich, you don't just have a jet. But you have a jet that you can decorate the outside and the inside of the way you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's personalized to the nth degree. Here's Elon's jet. Take a look at this. This is what it looks like. I'm a little bit jealous. When I saw this, I thought, wow.
Ooh.
It's got X on it, which is his obsession and his company as well. It's black. It's got a big red X on it. And it says GFY, which is obviously his call sign. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
I mean, that is the ultimate FU. To the world.
That's a proper
owning a
flex.
Jet like that, right? I think that's magnificent.
Ooh, I'd put like a middle finger on the underside.
Maybe there is, for
maybe,
all we know.
Maybe.
And then speaking of Elon, he was at a Black Coffee party this week. Have you seen the footage?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a massive Black Coffee fan.
Okay, so here it is. This was posted on the internet yesterday. Drake was there.
He's
Lionel Messi was there, and Elon Musk was there. What a party this must have been.
Yeah, crazy.
And Elon is just, you know, he's dancing on his own. He's like in the crowd, but he's having a... I just think this is what it means to enjoy life. And the best thing is that you don't have to be Elon Musk to do it. Mm. You don't have to be the world's richest person. You don't have to have that jet that we just showed you now. You could just go out this weekend and just have a good time. Doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg. Party with your friends, go and do something cool, let loose, stop worrying about what everyone thinks of you. Look, he's just dancing. Take a look at this. Elon, Lionel Messi, Travis Scott, Black Coffee,
Drake.
I mean, what a party.
Yeah.
And, you know, just dance like no one's watching. Because actually,
no one
the
is.
People who are just jealous.
Yeah.
Jealous down.
Yep.
Get on with it. Enjoy yourself. Do your thing. All right. Just to make you feel worse about how cold it is, I found the worst Dutch song in the world. This also came up on my feed yesterday. And I just thought, here's this Dutch guy with the most terrible teeth you've ever seen. He's like, this is like your stereotypical, if you had to imagine a Dutch man, not a Dutchman, but a Dutch man.
Yeah.
this is what I see. And he's singing a song about going on vacation to a hot country, which kind of sounds good right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't need Elon money to be partying like Elon. Maybe you'll find a place like that this weekend to go and party. And it doesn't matter how old you are, whether you are... I mean, he has like 20 kids, Elon. You don't see him complaining, oh, who's going to look after the kids? He goes and has a party. He wants to have a good time. He goes and has a good time. But you do need quite a lot of money if you want to go and travel to somewhere where it's hot. Mm. And remember, we've got the window seat coming up with travel.co.za too. So stick around for that. But take a look at this. This is a great song, and this will be stuck in your head all day. You ready?
Like, what did I just watch?
Vakantie in een warm land, bakken in de zon, right? Baking in the sun,
yeah.
Drinking, eating. You gotta love it.
That old man is living his best life.
He's also having a good time.
He's having a good time.
So the only thing, here's the point, everybody, and this is not some motivational track that we're on this morning. Do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
YOLO. You only have a few lifetimes. You only have a few hours, months, years in this life. Don't make them count.
Yeah.
What do you do? Be miserable and unhappy?
And from all the old people that I know, they'll tell you that it's all the things you didn't do that you regret.
That's exactly right.
Rather than things that you did.
Correct.
It's always better to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission, guys.
Spot on.
Like, exactly.
Okay, I see even James, the producer, thinks it's so funny he had to play it twice. You like that, Flex? Okay, they love it. The producers love it.
Absolutely love it.
So now that song's going to be stuck in your head all week. But you know what? Share it with your friends. Make it stick in their heads as well.
Yeah, yeah.
What I love about that guy is he's like, he can't even get onto that thing, whatever it is. He needs help up onto that thing. He picks up a big barrel of beer. Guy's having a good time. I love it.
Great time. He actually looks like someone who took the time to read one of Robin Sharma's books. By the way, that interview was great.
Yes. Oh, let me tell you while we're talking about Robin Sharma. Mm. So in case you didn't notice over the last two or three days, the old Cliff Central app has now become the podcast party app.
Yep.
Which includes African Analysis, The Burning Platform and other shows. And the Robin Sharma interviews on there as well. We will be launching a brand new Real Network app very, very soon. We're in the process of doing that as we speak. In the meantime, you can go and listen at therealnetwork.com/listen. You can go and find that. Obviously, if you're listening now, you know that already.
Yeah, you do.
Or you just get us on YouTube, whatever you prefer, because on YouTube, you get to see it as well as hear it.
Yeah.
So whichever you prefer. You know, we're trying to make things easier for you, not harder. Okay. So there are a couple of like weird things going on at the moment. They've just launched what they're calling Joe Biden's big boy press conference today. Have you heard about this?
Please tell me that's not the actual name of the thing.
All right. Like, so the official White House communications team have put out a notice this morning that Joe Biden will be answering more than two questions at the press conference today. And they're calling it, because he's answering more than two questions, they're calling it a big boy press conference. This is like someone in that team needs to be fired. Isn't that the dumbest thing you can do? Why would you call it that? Like, it's so demeaning. It's like,
it is so demeaning.
A big boy. You're a big boy. You know, this is what you say to a three or
a toddler.
Even after five, you say big boy to a kid and they're like,
amen.
The hell's wrong with you?
I mean, I feel like they're doubling down on what Jill Biden said right after the debate.
Yes, where she
you
went,
you answered every
question. You did
question.
So well, Joe. We're so pleased. Hercules. Exactly. Hercules. Oh. That's what I was thinking too.
Oh, man.
It's bad, right? So here,
that is just horrible.
To prove I'm not making this up, here's a clip from Fox News where they talk about this. So you know we're not giving you misleading information. You know, we're not the source of dis and misinformation. Take a look.
White House officials are saying President Biden is going to host a press conference on Thursday afternoon. All that they'll tell us is that it's going to be more than the traditional two questions when foreign leaders are in town. They're describing it at the White House as a big boy press conference. Neil.
A big boy press conference seems to imply that he's going to take more than just a couple of questions. And the pressure would be on him because it would only be him answering.
Well, one way to stop getting people to focus on him being 81 and possibly having issues with his acuity is just to call him a big boy.
That is
very bad marketing.
So stupid.
You know, I thought that they used to have the world's best spin doctors in the White House, like these really clever people who could find a way of turning anything negative into something positive.
Hey.
You know, we were misled. And it was probably because we didn't have social media before.
Mm.
We were led to believe that there were these brilliant people who were so much cleverer, Jack, than you and me, and that were super strategic.
Yeah.
And that always had a plan and that were going to figure out stuff long before it occurred to us so that they could package it in the right way and sell it to us. I've been told this my whole life, that there are brilliant, brilliant people in this world who are so on the ball that if you even sit in a room with them, you just feel stupid. I got to tell you, there are no such people. Spin does not work. You are as smart as the next guy. And even if you think you're not, you probably aren't that far behind.
Mm.
You just don't have to believe that anymore. Like if anything is proven by this, it is that there are no brilliant, brilliant people. And if they were, they're certainly not employed in the higher levels of politics or business. Because some of them are absolutely astonishingly dumb and dull.
Yeah. So
big boy. I feel sorry for those guys from Uber Eats who drop off your stuff sometimes. And then they ride those big boy scooters. Like it's just demeaning you. Oh, you're a big boy. Right? You're a big boy scooter. Ooh, big boy press conference.
Yay.
Right.
So, again, on our motivational arc this morning, if you're an idiot, just don't worry. There are plenty of them out there.
Yeah.
You are not alone.
And you could rise to the very top.
Listen, you could be the cream of the crop. You could be the idiot of all idiots, and people will continuously praise you. In fact, they'll walk around trying to make the case that you are intelligent. Who knows?
You could fail upwards,
yeah.
Like Kamala Harris.
Oy.
I mean, she has no skills to speak of. She's never done anything good. She's done nothing impressive in her life.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That woman's a broken record. What does she keep saying? Unburdened by what unburdened, came
unburdened
before.
Unburdened by and things that... No. She goes... Oh, God. I've actually got it here somewhere. Hang on. Let me just find it because it's so bad.
It is so
bad. I'll play
bad.
It for you. Oh, it's fantastic.
Is
I love it.
So bad. Like Kamala Harris.
Unburdened by what has been.
If Black Americans were to be.
Be.
If they were going to be honest.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time. Mm-hmm. Right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance
in the passage of time.
In terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time. When we think about a day in the life of our children.
Yeah. Unburdened by what has been.
Anyway, I mean, the thing that drives me crazy about her is she has just spent her entire career failing upwards.
Upwards, yeah.
So every time she fails at a job, she gets given a job that's even more important.
Mm.
And when she fails at that, she keeps climbing the ladder. She started off as a state prosecutor in San Francisco. She was terrible at that.
Then she
became a senator for California.
Mm.
Then she became a presidential candidate. Then she became vice president. And now she is a ball hair away from being president because Joe Biden looks like he could kick the bucket any minute.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be our president. Oh. Do you remember when she and Joe won the election and she went, "We did it, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
We did it, Joe." She always sounds like she's giving birth.
It's bad.
What's going on there?
It is terrible.
Anyway, look, again, you know what? You have every reason to be proud of yourself and to smile and to feel confident that you can go out there and kill in the world where someone like that can be the second most powerful person on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Things are not that tough, guys.
Now, in fact, after Kamala Harris, I don't want to hear Black Americans say they don't have privilege.
I mean,
this woman is the poster child for Black privilege.
Jesus.
Right?
Mm.
Failing upwards like that?
That's right.
I mean, come on.
And they get upset. By the way, America is very, very torn apart by the fact that if you refer to Kamala Harris as a DEI candidate, in other words, diversity, equity, inclusion, that she was basically given the job because she's a Black woman, which is true.
Mm.
Joe Biden even said, "I had to choose a Black woman because for some people that's more important than whether she's good at the job or not."
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then when you point that out, you're the racist. So apparently now you must just pretend that she's there on merit.
As if listening to the woman tells you that she's not. Like, come on. We know.
So you know what? If you're going to be a DEI or an affirmative action candidate, then you got to own it. And you say, "I'm only here because I'm a woman, I'm Black. Vote for me because I'm Black and I'm a woman."
Mm.
It's enough.
Yeah, it is.
"I failed upwards so far. Don't stop me now." To quote the Queen song.
I'm on a roll.
You know? Yeah, come on. Let's go. And then somebody says, Slippery Pickle, "She's Indian. She's not even Black." Yeah, that's true. But she's claimed African-American because it's very convenient.
Iman, people, we've got eyes. She's Black, okay? Like, she can say whatever she wants. But we've got eyes. She's
I just love that when it suits someone of mixed race, then they're very Black.
Oh, yeah.
And when it suits them, they're very white.
Mm-hmm.
These are the same kind of people who during apartheid were like, no, I'm white.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as apartheid ended, I'm Black.
I'm Black, yeah.
I'm Black as the ace of spades.
You flip-flop us.
Yeah.
Listen, and one of these good days, all of that shit's going to catch up to you, just so you know.
Carl DeSantis says, "Can you imagine Kamala Harris negotiating with Putin or Xi Jinping?"
Oof.
I really want to make a deal with.
Yeah, I mean, they'll shoot themselves in the head. So maybe it's a good idea. It could be an interesting strategy. Where are those brilliant spin doctors when you need them, right?
I'm not sure I'm ready to live in a world without Vladimir Putin just yet. Not just yet. Not just yet.
Percy says she must hawk a good tour.
Yeah.
Well, if you do go back into her history, there was a guy called Willie Brown, who was mayor of San Francisco. And Willie Brown had a nice relationship with Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Back in the day. This is not controversial, by the way. Everybody knows it. It's all over the internet. You could just Google Kamala Harris, Willie Brown. You'll see for yourself. I'm not making it up. It's not me trying to cast aspersions on the sanctity and the decency and the virtue of Kamala Harris. You can go and look this up yourself.
Yeah, those kids had a good old time back there.
Anyway, right, we've climbed into enough people this morning. I reckon what we've got to do is turn our attention back to that guy from Holland. You know,
Vakantie
in on warm land. All right, it's time for the window seat this morning, which is brought to you, of course, by travel.co.za. And we're joined on the line by Achi Adams, who's been on the show before. In fact, the last time Achi was on, he gave us some pretty damn good advice about where we could go in the world on a budget. Because, I mean, who's just got extra money lying around? Not even Mama Joy anymore. And Achi helped us by figuring out exactly where we could go. He gave us all the packages. He gave us pictures, he gave us video. We had Egypt in there, we had Bali in there. We had some incredible destinations, from the sublime to the cheap. And this morning he is back and he's going to tell us a little bit more about business travel and the business travel show in Europe, which we'll get to in just a short while. That's with travel.co.za. I know you're going to go fetch him, James. Yes, you just loved that Dutch guy, didn't you? Yeah, it loves him. Like James has made that his like screensaver on his phone. Oh, this is really, talk about travel. It's somewhere you don't want to go. A faraway planet known for its dire weather and also smells of rotten eggs, according to a new study, is called HD189733b. Hmm. It has scorching temperatures and precipitation akin to raining glass. So it sounds really nice.
Wow.
It's just so nice there.
How is that for a travel destination?
They used the James Webb Space Telescope. Hydrogen sulfide, which makes up most of its atmosphere, that is the stuff that smells of rotten eggs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In a stink bomb, hydrogen sulfide. Yeah. Great. So HD189733b, not a great place to find yourself. So it rains glass. It emits a huge pong, according to researchers. The gas is emitted during farts as well. Good to know. A planet of farts. This is where you would send your worst enemies, right? If we did develop space travel to the point where we could go anywhere in the galaxy in a second, like in Star Wars or Star Trek, this would be a hell of a place. Like you buy your ex or your mother-in-law.
Ooh, no.
Or your boss. A holiday on this planet. Hey, here's a free ticket to HD189733B.
No, actually, that sounds like the perfect place to take corrupt politicians.
Planet that smells of farts.
Yeah.
So finding it here is one of the first detections of hydrogen sulfide on an exoplanet or a planet outside of our solar system. Although hydrogen sulfide is one of the gases that indicate distant planets might be home to alien organisms, researchers aren't searching for life there because it's a gas giant like Jupiter, so it's too hot for anything to live on it.
Okay.
They do say finding hydrogen sulfide here is a step towards understanding how planets form, but this is not a great one.
Mm-mm.
If you're going to go somewhere, this is not the one to visit.
I believe it was Einstein who said God doesn't play dice with the universe.
That's correct.
I think he did on that day. For that planet?
I think the fact that a planet that smells of farts exists is proof enough that there are always more horrible things in the universe than you could have imagined.
Yeah.
Planets of farts. Oh. I mean, we love a little bit of toilet humor on this show. We're not above it. You know, we don't think we're special.
Mm-mm.
But I'll tell you, a whole planet that smells of farts.
Yeah, that sounds like overkill. That's
pretty rough. So yeah. HD189733B, make a note of it somewhere in your calendar. One day, Achi will be here to tell us, yeah, we can send you there.
Yeah.
It'll be like a spite present.
Mm.
It'll be the kind of present that you give someone you really don't like.
Yeah.
Hi, Achi.
Very well, thanks.
Nice to see you guys.
Good morning.
You good?
Very well, thanks. But tired, but yeah, good.
And like a cold, hey?
Flip, it's freezing cold, eh? Last few days are cold. The water pipes are frozen.
Yeah. Did you have water this morning?
No, I had water. But you know what? The washing takes forever to dry as well.
Yeah.
It's so little sunlight.
Mm-hmm. It freezes solid on the line for starters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's always a worse place, like the planet of farts or the Free State. Right? I mean, the Free State's freezing. They've got snow all over the place.
I saw -7 on TikTok.
Yes. Jesus. Yeah, I know. It's very bad. Ugh. Now, last month, Mornay came in here and he told us about the big show that you guys had in Europe, right? The Business Travel Show Europe.
That's right, yeah.
Right. And he told us about the plans that you've got for global domination for travel IT. And we introduced what you guys were going to be doing at that business travel show in London. And you're going to tell us a little bit about what happened at that show, because this is the place to talk travel, travel technology, the latest developments, cutting edge ideas, all of that innovation.
100%. I mean, if you want to, in the travel industry, if you want to call yourself a global player, that's the place to be.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Who are all there? I mean, like who flies to it to exhibit besides people like you guys at Tourvest Travel Services? Who goes to see the things there? Look at this. Wow.
Yeah. So what you see on the screen over there, those are some of the exhibitors that you've got. American Express Card and a company called Direct ATPI. A lot of tech providers. They actually split the show into three. Mm-hmm. They have a meeting show because, as you know, meetings and exhibitions is big in the travel industry. They have a travel show, which is for travel management companies.
Right.
And they have a tech show. It's all in one. What you see over there is the planning.
Mm.
Now, you'd think that's like a week before. That's literally 12 hours before opening.
Sure. And am I right in assuming that a lot of these people who have got exhibitions there, we wouldn't necessarily know outside of the travel business? We wouldn't know, but these are the machines and the systems that run things.
Yeah.
When you make a booking.
They got weird names and all of that kind of stuff. You never heard of them before, but they're the little connectors that put everything together. And with Travel IT, we're one of those connectors.
Yeah.
All the way from South Africa, deep south. And we thought it's time to introduce ourselves to the world. So, yeah, it was fantastic.
That's very, very good. Okay, so tell us about your stand.
So, when we chose our stand, we wanted to be a little humble. We obviously also needed to go with what we could afford. So it's a bit of that combined. And, you know, everything's in pounds. So you got to, that's the stand that we've got over there. We partnered with our UK partner called Munro's.
Right.
We went in with the We Program and You Prosper catch line for Travel IT. And I got a little special mention for Knickknacks, which was the hero of the entire show.
Oh, lekker. Okay, and so what is that? Because people love Knickknacks.
Tell you the story about Knickknacks. We didn't know this.
I saw that in the corner. I was like, what is it? Someone leave their packet of chips lying
on your... You know, when you have an exhibition, you have to have like a little takeaway or giveaway and stuff like that. Everybody's got something.
Yeah.
And we tried to get a marula. And apparently you need a liquor license.
Okay.
So we said, fine, we've got a company in the UK, 12 is duty free.
Yeah.
They've got a liquor license. No. The UK, you need a personal, it's called a personal liquor license if you want to serve alcohol on a stand.
Okay.
Whatever Spoil alcohol sports. It is. Yep. Okay, no problem. Well, it's going to cost £500 for the license. No problem. 10 grand, no problem. We'll do that. Okay, what do we need to do? Well, it's a three-month process. There's about 17 forms you got to fill in. They got so many rules. The stand next to us is a South African guy on board, and they always find the back door. Found one of the catering company's trolleys, put all the drinks on there, paid them £1,000 to get some beers.
That's awesome.
If that's not the most South African thing I've heard today, I don't know what is. And
we always make a plan.
Had to be a South African. And there's so many South Africans there, which is, you know, quite outstanding.
So how did you end up with Knickknacks?
Well, Monet said, well, if you're going to give a snack away, give fizzers, you know, South African stuff, and take Knickknacks and just trust me. And we didn't know this. It's contraband. It's actually banned in Europe and the UK.
Wow.
For something that's inside it in terms of the ingredients.
Monosodium glutamate, probably.
That's probably it. And even the South African store can't stock it.
Really?
So nobody has it. And we went over with a suitcase full.
That's so clever. God, I love you guys. You know, these guys really do break all the rules. But you know, that's part of the fun side of what you do. I know that there's a very serious part of your business. And it's probably worth just reiterating to people who don't understand the real backbone of what you do. And so many of the bookings that we're all making on a day-to-day basis, we don't even realize, are going through Travel IT.
That's right.
And this is novel, innovative, and original technology developed here in South Africa by Tourvest. And what's amazing about it is that this is already doing the job in South Africa and internationally. And it's probably the best system for not only corporate travel, but for individual travel. I mean, it's working in the background when you book on Discovery, for example. Am I right?
Yeah, and a whole lot of others. But it's much more than that. It's a fully integrated. And this is why something we learned while we were there. We've seen other products while we were there. We spoke to clients who are using other products or competing products over there. And it's just so much fun. You're standing on the stand and you're watching some of the sales guys go through some demos. Really, really interesting. There's dozens of exhibitors over there. And these clients have seen a lot of these things. And they get very surprised when they sit with our salespeople and they're doing a live demo. They're not doing a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, yeah. It's happening. You can actually do it.
It's not a sales job.
So you guys are ahead of the curve.
It's a live demo. And you see the look on their face. It's, is this live? And he's like, yeah, we just booked you a ticket as a demo, but a live ticket from here to Ibiza.
Yeah.
And it's issued your ticket. And they're like, really? Can I fly? It's like, yes, it's done it. There's the ticket. It's on your mobile phone. And they're so surprised by that, number one. They're also surprised that it's something that actually works. If you'll afford me a little bit of time to explain.
Go for it.
You've got a lot of tech companies that offer this tech solution for online travel.
Sure.
And really, really world-class companies, looks really good, looks really slick. And as you know, there's a process. You know, mm-hmm. you look for something, you find something, you price it.
Yeah.
You check availability, you select something, goes for approval, uh-huh. gets accepted, gets rejected, goes through a process before you actually get your documentation. We keep our process simple. I think it's like a 5-step process in corporate. It's connected via mobile, via desktop, via the app, all of right. that kind of stuff. The competing products put a lot of little processes, we call them micro processes, in between all of this.
That slows it down.
And slows it down, but also a lot of the time doesn't actually get to the end because the user gets a little frustrated.
Mm. Yeah.
And what do? They revert to what's called the traditional model. Oh, no, I can't be asked with this. Just get all the consultant. Let a travel agent do it for me. Mm. And the reason why they do these micro processes in between is because somewhere there, it's a little broken.
There's someone has to get their slice of the pie.
Correct.
And right. So it also ends up being cheaper.
So these clients that we see are so surprised to see the live demo, and it actually works right till the end.
But let me understand, and for the purpose of our audience this morning, this is mostly for corporate travel.
That's all. But, well, for the show, yes.
It could work, you know, you could end up rolling out an individual travel application. There are many that use this as their background interface anyway.
Coming soon.
I can't mm-hmm. wait.
Watch this space.
So that'll be exciting. Yeah. And then you don't have to use all of that stuff either. You can just have the most streamlined process and have 100%. Your documents and have your tickets instantly. All right. So what's next, Achi? I mean, you guys are always developing the new thing.
Well, like I say, coming soon. We got a couple of weeks, maybe a month or more before we start testing the personal version of Travel Yo. IT, which okay. is coming soon on travel.co.za.
Mm-hmm.
We have a partner showcase, which you know about. It's on level 45 coming soon. It's a big, big event that we're having. It's going to be the highest partner or travel showcase, highest in terms of level 45 in South Africa, in probably the world, because everybody has these things on the ground. We decided to have it at level 45.
That's in the Leonardo. Huh?
Yeah. Oh, another exciting thing happening, probably in about 3 to 4 weeks time, we're opening our Dubai office.
Wow.
The actual opening. So that's going to be great.
Amazing.
Funny enough, we met, I won't mention the company's name, but the head of procurement for a company that's a global company, the global head of procurement,
mm-hmm.
and was heard of us through a campaign we ran online on LinkedIn. And the feedback, she said, we've got a big office in Dubai. Mm-hmm. And we said, we met with them. And they weren't interested in our technology. And she asked why. And we said, well, they're scared the PAs might lose their jobs.
Oh.
And, you know, the PAs are from all over the world, from Russia, from, you know, the UK, from Spain, and all of that kind of stuff. And the PAs are the ones rejecting it. And she said, bullshit. I'm coming to South Africa. We're going to have a full meeting. And we're going to talk about rolling this out in Dubai and the rest of the world. So
cut out the middlemen seems to be the idea
and
here too.
Very, very positive. The business travel show. I mean, there's thousands of people that attend. I just wanted to finish on that.
Mm-hmm.
But you only have probably space for 30 meetings or engagements. So you have to be really, really selective about who you accept meetings with.
Wow.
And it's a very slick system. 2 or 3 weeks before the show, all these registered buyers go online, look at the exhibitors and request meetings with you. If they've never heard about you, they're not going to request a meeting,
right.
which is why we did a targeted online campaign on LinkedIn.
Very good.
To people with specific titles. They just saw, come and find us. We travel IT. We'll change your life. And we got half our meetings were actually requested from them. And the other half of meetings we requested with certain people. And you get a lot of walk-ins and people that come by. So it's a 3-year cycle. This was year one. Welcome to Travel IT, introducing us. Next year, make a little bit bigger of a mark. And by year 3, that's when we get the competitors nervous.
I love it. All right. I also like your Star Wars hoodie. That's very cool. By the way, just for good measure, while we say goodbye to Achi, you can go and check out travel.co.za. Make your dream holiday a reality. And you could be as happy as this Dutch guy.
Yes, sir.
Ga ik naar dat landje waar ik zo van ben gaan
Cheers, good to guys. See you, man. Cheers. That was awesome. Cheers. All right, so we've got a definite theme going this morning. All right, it's just after 7. That is The Window Seat with travel.co.za. We will return with a whole lot more. Jack Mutlante and I here to look after you all the way until 8 o'clock. Don't go anywhere.